desire and interest in your prayers this morning as we look into the Word of God. I'd like to begin with a very familiar passage this morning in Luke in the second chapter. The title of the message the Lord had put on my heart is "For Unto You." And that is a very personal message. And I trust that the message this morning that the Spirit of the Lord will personalize it to you and make it real in your life. The second chapter of Luke will begin, and I begin reading, and I know probably most of us can quote this by heart. But it said, "It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And the taxing was first made with Cyrenius when he was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one unto his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." Now that is speaking about the birth of Jesus Christ. And I would remind us that the Scripture, and we talked some about this Wednesday night, the Scripture never teaches us to especially remember or have a special day of remembering the birth of Christ. But Jesus did tell us to remember His death. But this, and sometimes people can go to extremes. This is in the Bible. This is in the Scripture. And so what is in the Scripture, the Lord wanted us to know. And we recognize and freely acknowledge that historically and based on the evidence that is there, that Jesus was most likely not born in December. It was probably as late as September or earlier, based on the time that the sheep would be out in the fields. That would have been September at the latest because the rains would have come. And according to history, the shepherds would not have the sheep out in the field at that time like it is in December. And there's a whole history to what the world does at this time of year, but we are not of the world. And yet, the Scripture was given for our encouragement and inspiration. So Jesus was born, and it says there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, most of you probably think of I was thinking even as I was on the way to service this morning, the song, "O Holy Night," and it talks about, you know, how clear it was. And we get this romanticized picture maybe of these men out in the sheep laying peaceably, maybe out in the green fields and the fires there, and just this beautiful, peaceful scene. But do you know the reason shepherds were out with their flocks? It was because there was danger. It was because there were wild beasts, there were wolves, and there were bears, and there were lions, and there were things that could come, and it was a dangerous place. And I imagine, you know, when they heard a sound in the night, you know, sometimes they probably looked at it and said, "It's your turn. You go out there and see what's, you go find out what's going on. You go see what's prowling out there." And it was, I thought about, and please excuse me if you have to this morning, but you know, we think about, "Oh, holy night," and the clear night, and I thought, well, it might have been a little bit different. It might have had a little Edgar Allan Poe twist on it. "It came upon a midnight dreary while I pondered, weak and weary." And then the poem goes on. You see, the world was in trouble. And they might have, we find when the angel appeared to the shepherds, they were fearful. They were afraid. It's like, what is this? And we live in a very troubled world this morning. We still live in a troubled world. And think about these shepherds. Now, they were outside of Bethlehem. Bethlehem is 5 to 6 miles from Jerusalem. Now, we can talk about who the shepherds were, and there have been messages preached and books written about how the shepherds were the outcast of society. That's not always true. I've seen some rich shepherds. They have a lot of sheep, and there were those that, and we can talk about they were smelly, and some of that might be true. But do you know there's an alternative history? That's the thing about history. It's someone's interpretation. According to the Mishnah, which is the oral tradition that was recorded by the Jews, it was not lawful for Jews to have their flocks in the fields close to the city. They had to have the flocks out in the wilderness. And the only ones that were permitted to have their flocks out in the fields close to the city were the sheep that were used to sacrifice in the temple. I don't know which one is accurate, but you know, there's some lessons to be learned with either one of those. Then possibly there are some that even postulate that because those sheep were used in the service of the temple, that they were actually priests that were out there caring for the sheep that would one day be taken in and sacrificed for the sins of mankind. But whatever the case might be, we know that shepherds were not at the top of the socioeconomic class. And we find that the angel of the Lord appeared to these shepherds. And you know what's so beautiful about that is, what did Jesus came to be for us? He came to be a shepherd. And that's who, one of the first news of the birth of Christ was brought to shepherds, of whom Jesus was going to be the chief shepherd. The angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not. You know, there are times in our darkness, there are times that things start happening that it brings fear to our minds. It brings fear to our hearts. I don't know what to expect. I don't know what's going to happen. But you know, one of the messages that accompanies God throughout the scripture many times was, don't be afraid. Fear not. I know it's nighttime. It wasn't light out. Nighttime is a time of dread. It can be a time that when you're sick, it's worse at night. It's a time that you can battle things in your mind more at night because things are quiet and there's more loneliness. And yet in the midst of darkness, in the midst of possibly fear, the angel said, fear not. This morning, I want to encourage us all not to be afraid. Because the message of the angels was this, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to whom? To all people. Do you know that applies to me and you? And I was so blessed when the Lord began to talk to my heart about this, because the good tidings were brought to all people. This was for me. And this was for you. And this was the message. It said, for unto you. Now that was personal. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you that ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Good tidings in a time of heartache, in a time of upheaval, political upheaval, in a time of bondage, in a time where people could not live without sinning, in a time where there was so much trouble, there was some good news that the angel brought and said, I bring, for unto you is born. There's a Savior that's for you. This morning we still live in a politically troubled world. We still live in a world that sin is all around us. We live in a world that it seems like so many people are struggling. But there is good news in the midst of bad news. The good news is, for unto you, there was a Savior that was born. A Savior, by definition, is one that can deliver. It's one that can set free. It's one that came down, Jesus Christ came. There's one song that said, I remember hearing as a young person, He came down to our level. Because why? Someone else know the song? Because I couldn't get up to His. So Jesus came from heaven. Jesus existed before His birth. But He left heaven and was born to the Virgin Mary and came as a Savior that He might understand our struggles and our problems. And He came to be the ultimate sacrifice for us. The Scripture in Isaiah 9:6 says, For unto us a child is born. In other words, it was personal. It wasn't like, well, someone got some good news over there. You hear someone just went and started passing out a gift to about half of you. How would the rest of you feel? If we pulled out and said, well, we have something special we'd like to do for some of you. And we gave a gift to maybe 3/4 of you, even worse, 90%. And 10% of you kind of looked around and said, well, why are you leaving me out? You would have almost rather there not been any good news for anybody. Do you realize that the Scripture and that the reality is that Jesus came for all of us? It doesn't matter what our background is. It doesn't matter if we grew up in church. It doesn't matter who our family was. It doesn't matter the sin and the heartache that's in our past. For unto you was born a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Jesus was born to a virgin. Much of the religious world is denying that fact today, but He was born to a virgin. And Jesus, and this is what is termed the mystery of the hypostatic union, was that Jesus was 100% man, and He was also 100% God. He took upon Him the nature of man, and yet He was God in the flesh. And that meant He had the ability to understand because He walked as we walked. Jesus hurt as we hurt. Jesus experienced rejection. He experienced being falsely accused. He experienced suffering. He had temptation. He went through times of temptation where His flesh was drawn to do something that was contrary to the will of God. And yet He lived a life of holiness, and He went to the cross and died for our redemption. And that's personal this morning. When you feel alone, when you feel like that you're struggling and you're just going through it by yourself and no one understands you, for unto you was born a Savior. And that is what qualified Him to be a mediator between us and God. Jesus, oh, think about Job when he cried out. He's like, I wish there were a daysman to stand betwixt me and God. A daysman is like an attorney. It's an in-between. It's a mediator. If this one doesn't understand this one, a daysman is one that can come and talk to this one and then go talk to this one and bring resolution to bridge the gap. We were unable in our righteousness and in our sin to make true connection with God because sin broke it. And yet Jesus Christ came to be a daysman. He came to place His hand on us, and He reached up to the Father and He bridged the gap through His blood that was shed on the cross. And we need not live lonely any longer. We don't need to go through, yes, we're still going to have valleys to cross, and we're going to have streams to ford, and we're going to have fire to go through, but there is a Savior that wants to go with us this morning. You are not alone if you will open up your heart to the Savior. There are times that sometimes people give family gifts. You know what a family gift is? It's just kind of sometimes family gifts, and there's nothing wrong with family gifts, so y'all go ahead, that's all right. But a family gift, sometimes it's not personal to me. I mean, you don't give a pair of socks to the family, right? You know, that's personal. But a family gift is something that's just kind of everybody can use it. But do you realize that Christ came to be personal to you? He understands your needs. He understands your struggles. He understands your loneliness this morning. He understands the things about you that you think nobody else understands me. Well, a lot of times that's not as true as what we might think. But there is a Savior that understands you. And He cries with you, and He hurts with you, but He wants to walk with you because He's our Savior. He is in the business of delivering and empowering people to do what they could not do for themselves. He was personal Lord. What is Jesus to you this morning? Is He personal? Or is it just this religious stuff? Do you know, I'm not real interested in religion this morning. Religion doesn't do much for me Monday morning. Doesn't do a lot for me. But I'll tell you what does something for me. It's when I have allowed Christ to be my personal Savior. And if you are struggling this morning, it's like church. I don't like church. I don't like this. And I have to be here. And I go because I need to. And I do this and that. And we have this form of godliness and these certain standards we keep. Do you know that by itself is pretty miserable? So if you're miserable this morning, you're not the first one to be there and you won't be the last. But I want to tell you what makes the difference. The difference is when you begin to understand that Jesus came to be a personal Savior. For unto you is born. And when we begin to open up our heart to the personal aspect of Jesus Christ, it will begin to transform our lives and make a difference. Jesus is a great high priest this morning. He came to understand. He came to mediate. The scripture says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, and that was the man, Christ Jesus. Do you remember the first message, the first official message of Christ? He read a prophecy, and it was over in the book of Luke, and this was in the synagogue. Maybe we could say the first formal message or scripture that we have record of. In the fourth chapter of Luke, Jesus stood up, and He took the book of the prophet Isaiah, and He opened it, and this is what He read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Do you know the Spirit of the Lord was the anointing of God, and that is why Christ, that was the word, what the name Christ is, the anointed one. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because He hath anointed me. He was the anointed one. This is something no one else can do. He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. That means to those that have need. You have need this morning. Christ was the fulfillment, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. He came to minister to the needs of the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Are you brokenhearted this morning? You know, that's not just talking about people that are unsaved. There have been times I needed the Lord to come in and do a work in my heart. To preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind. If you can't see this morning, there's a Savior that wants to open up your eyes. To set at liberty them that are bruised. You know what a bruise is? It's a wound that is underneath the skin. Outwardly, I'm not bleeding, but inwardly, I'm sore and I'm bruised. Do you know that the Lord Jesus came to bring healing to those that are bruised? For unto you is born someone that can set us free, someone that can make your heart sing again. You know, that's what Jesus came to do. Have you ever been in a place in life that just seemed like you couldn't hardly sing anymore? Seemed like the joy had been dashed. Seem like that the purpose and the joy of living through some of the heartaches that life brings. Do you know that Jesus wants to come and be your personal friend? And He wants to begin to heal. And if this morning you feel like you cannot sing, if you will allow the Savior, He will begin a work that one day you can sing again. And if you're hurting this morning And maybe there's situations, maybe there's people in your lives that have hurt you and let you down and disappointed you. Open up your heart to the Lord because He wants to help you. That's why He came. For unto you, it's personal. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And then He went on to say, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. You want some good news this morning? He gave the news of the birth of the Savior, and He said, this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Do you know God's purpose for sending His Son Jesus was not to bring judgment, but it was to bring deliverance. There is going to come a day of judgment, but that day is not here yet. God sent His Son because He loved us. So can we personalize that this morning? Brother Calvin, the Lord loves you this morning. He loves you. That's why He sent His Son. Sister Tammy, Jesus loves you. He came because He looked on us. I'm so thankful the Lord loved Michael. And He said, you know what? You're worth sending my Son for, not because of what I did, but because God created us. And He sent His Son to die for us. And it said that goodwill, peace on earth, goodwill. Is it all right? I'm going to be really simple here. God is not against you this morning. Have you ever felt like God was working against you? Am I the only one that's ever felt that way? It just seemed like, Lord, you're being a little counterproductive here. You're supposed to be God, and He has goodwill for you. He has a good plan for each and every one of us this morning, and I don't want to miss out on it. Peace on earth. It wasn't that peace was going to come and all of the political turmoil was going to stop. But if we open up our heart to the Savior, there's a place that we can have peace and we can be at rest and we can go forward with a song in our heart because we've been set free by the blood of Jesus. And that's where we can sing the song, happy in the Savior. Why? Because I've been set free from my sin. I've been forgiven, a personal God. And one of the, we won't take the time to read it this morning. I felt like when the Lord gave me this message, He didn't want me to preach very long. I thought everyone would say amen. There's one, all right. But I really was impressed that the Lord wanted the simplicity of the message. Jesus came to be a personal God. And this is the reason why. This is the reason why when the angel appeared to Joseph in the book of Matthew in the 20th verse, said, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call His name what? Emmanuel. Which being interpreted is what? God with us. It's not about Santa Claus this morning. It's not about a Christmas tree. It's not about presents. It's not about gift exchanges. It's about that there is a Savior that came down to this earth because He loved me and He wants to be my friend and He wants to heal my broken heart. And He wants to open up my eyes in the areas that I'm blind. And He wants to be there to give me peace and give me joy. That's why Jesus came. He came to set me free from the power that the enemy had in my life. He came to enable me to forgive my enemies. He came to give me power to love those that aren't real lovable, because that's what He did for me. He came to give us grace to enable us to do in our life what we can't do in our own strength, what we can't do with our own willpower. And I am so thankful that I have a friend this morning that loves me. He accepts me for who He created me to be. He is there to help me in my struggles. And that's what He came to be in your life too. For unto you is born. And so the question is He your Emmanuel this morning? Have you come to that place that you've really opened up your heart and said, Lord, I want you to be my Emmanuel? Is God afar? Is He far off this morning? This is why He sent His Son Jesus, that God could be with us and walk with us. And so then, in the 15th verse, it said, it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste. You know, if this is true, I want to go see for myself. That's our responsibility this morning. You have heard. You have read, but have you made haste to go and say, Lord, I just heard it, but now I want to come and I want to experience it for myself. And they found it. It was exactly like the angel had told them. This morning, you do not have to take my word for it. There is someone that loves you, that will help you through your difficult times, can give you victory over your addictions, can give you power over yourself. And even after you're saved, sometimes you feel lonely and misunderstood and hurt. And there is a Savior that wants to be your Emmanuel. And when they had seen it, they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They were the first evangelists. We have found something that can make a difference in your life, and I want to go tell someone else about it. That's what they did. It wasn't some high-fluting theological message that they went to share. They went out and they told people that there's a Savior that's been born that can bring peace and deliverance. This morning, what are you doing with the knowledge that we have? If He is not your Emmanuel this morning, I want you to know that He is waiting for you. Because if they would have gone their way, they would have missed out on the benefit. But they wanted to go see for themselves. It's not about coming to church service this morning. It's not about religion. You young folks and you children, it's not just about doing what your mom and dad are requiring of you. That's important. But this is about you and God and finding that personal Emmanuel, that God is actually with me. We do not have to walk through life by ourselves. And I thank God, for unto you was born in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord.